with us. Amen. George Hurt preached for us years ago. In fact, his son was about knee high. I think maybe that was the last time you preached for us. So if so, it's been forever. Amen. And too long. We're so thankful. This great man of God, amen, gifted, anointed preacher, amen, a man of great faith is coming to preach to us. Come on, my friend. Amen. It's awesome to have you with us today.
Everybody lift your hands. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and kindness, God, that you have given to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that your perfect will be done in our lives. Help us to draw nearer to you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would set us free. That you deliver every one of us, Lord God. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that our faith would be stretched. Pray, God, that you would move upon the hearts, men and women, boys and girls in this room, Lord, to respond to the leading and the pull, the draw of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we rebuke all fear. We rebuke all confusion. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there will be clarity. Clarity in the spirit today. Clarity in the hearts of men. Hearts of men and women in this room. Pray, God, that your perfect will would be accomplished. In Jesus' name. Amen. While you're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, I want to give honor to Pastor Johnson for the opportunity to come and be able to minister here in Elkhart Life Church. I believe I was here, did a revival here back in 2012, and preached here first time in 2011, did a revival here in 2012. And maybe preached here a few times. I think maybe the last time I was here was probably about 2017. But once again, it is an honor to be here in the house of the Lord. I want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few be there that find it. I want to talk to you this morning from the thought, the danger of a broad perspective. The danger of a broad perspective. While you're being seated, shake someone's hand, tell them you love them. So many beautiful people in this room today. The longer I live, the more I see a need for the Lord to be the ruler in my life. Not just the one that supplies my needs. Not just the one that we pray to in the time of trouble. Knowing that he is in complete control of everything that is going on, we know that he is a God that is in control. But letting that same God have control over all the decisions, actions, choices that George Hurt makes on a day-to-day basis. But I would even go as far to say that the longer I live, the more I see the flaws that are present within me. I would say that when I first came to Jesus years ago, I knew that I was conflicted. I knew that there were things that I needed God to deliver me from. And I would go as far to say that from then till now, the Lord has done a great work in my life. I am not the same as I once was. But I've heard a person say that I think I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. But aren't we supposed to be where we are supposed to be? The Bible makes the statement in the scripture, it says, let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. I was driving yesterday when I was leaving. I've decided I was, since I was going to be home ministering in Indiana, I felt like yesterday was a good day to take the boat to Brookville Lake in Brookville, Indiana, and do a little bit of fishing. While I was heading back from the lake, headed home yesterday afternoon, the Lord began to deal with me about the world, about myself, and about life just in general. And the thing is that when we look at life, a lot of times we look at it at a fast pace. We can look at this world today and look at it, and before you know it, the year is beginning, and before you know it, the very year that was beginning is now coming to an end. Seems like that when we're moving at such a fast pace, it makes it very challenging and difficult to actually give the proper assessment of self, life, family, and things that are actually going on. We live in a world, we live in a day, an hour, where the scripture declares, it says that in the last days, it says that men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking after things that are coming to the earth. Now, there are many of us in this room that you will say, Brother Hurt, I'm totally ignorant when it comes down to the scriptures. I'm totally ignorant when it comes down to God. I'm simply here because I want to know more about him. I've come to tell somebody in this room that there is not one individual that walks the face of this world that knows everything about God. But God has created us with a desire to actually pursue him and seek after him. Bible says that when we have sought him with all of our heart, the scripture says that it will be then that we will find him. But nevertheless, we have in this world, we can look at life, and we can look at life from the lenses of our past or from our experiences. There's some people, praise the Lord, that they live and function in today based off of things that they've experienced yesterday. What does that mean? That basically means that you can have an individual that is very familiar. They've lived life long enough. There's some things that they won't do and some things that they will do, but they're led more by what they have experienced than they are led by the voice of God that is speaking into their life. The scripture makes the statement that it says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways much higher than ours. How do I make a decision that I have never made before in the past? How do I walk with a God that is completely opposite of my past experiences? Well, the only way that that's going to happen is that one must be willing to separate themselves from the past and unite with the one that says, I've got all power in my hands. It comes down to simply being that individual that says, I am going to trust God. There's a place in the book of Psalm, it says, trust in the Lord, I believe. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It says, lean not to thine own understanding. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, the Lord is speaking to disciples and whoever the onlookers were during the time of him ministering in this book. The Bible says that Jesus speaks. He says, I want you to enter into a straight gate. And the thing is that if God is telling us to enter into something, he'll never tell you to enter into a place that he has not made it accessible to you. There are things that are accessible to us that are made to us from God that are in the will of God. And then there are also things that are accessible to us that God may, there may be some things that are accessible to us that may not necessarily be in the will of God for us to gain access to. It was in the will of God that the children, that the Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, it was in the will of God for them to eat of the trees that were in the garden. But what was not in the will of God was for them to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. That tree that was the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil. Well, the thing was, just because it was accessible did not mean that it was in God's will for them to have it. Well, the thing is that due to the decision and the choice that Adam and Eve made in the garden and being a partaker of the thing that God says is not for you to have, but they took it because it was accessible to them. It has been since then that the whole world that we live in is full of confusion, destruction, and chaos. The Bible says the day that you eat of the tree will be the day that you will surely die. Is anybody in this room ever made decisions that you wish you could go back and overturn? Are there any people in this room that are living off of the repercussions of choices and decisions that you've made in the past? There's nothing that Adam and Eve could do to take the seed or take the fruit that they ingested and take it out of them and put it back on the tree. That there's some experiences that you just can't just walk away from. That there's some decisions, praise the Lord, that even after you have made it, and even though you resent it, and even though you regret it, praise the Lord, there's some things that you will battle in war with. The Bible makes the statement, you reap what you sow. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? I'm not saying that God cannot overturn sin. But I can tell you this, is that sometimes it is easier to deal with the thought of what something would taste like than to have to battle with an appetite that you never should have had. It is one thing, praise the Lord, to deal with something or make a decision and battle, or maybe battle with the curiosity of something that you never had. Then to embrace or open up the door and actually taste something. And now because you've tasted it, now you're battling with the appetite when you at first were only battling with the desire of something or the thought of having a thing. Well, the Bible makes the statement, praise the Lord, that the Lord is speaking. And he tells them where to enter in. He says, I want you to make sure that you enter into this straight gate. Now, the challenge is that in this world, we have an understanding that the world has this broader perspective, somewhat of a perspective that is much broader than the scriptures. Now, the thing is that there are many different kind of ways to miss God. There's many different kind of ways to end up in the wrong place. There are many different kind of ways to end up off course, but there's only one way to see God. Bible makes the statement that the Lord spoke to them. He says that I am the way. He said, I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus said that I am the door. And if any man comes unto the Father, he says, he's got to come through me. Can I talk to somebody in this room that where God has for you, what God has for you in your life is not going to come through you, but is going to come through Jesus Christ. If you're ever going to find the Father, you're not going to find him in this world. You're not going to find him with other religions. You're not going to find him through your great discipline. You're not even going to find him through your great works. But Jesus made the statement. He said that I am the door. Now, the thing is that the Bible declares that Jesus is the truth. The crazy thing is that we live in a society, we live in a world where opinions are mattering more than what truth is. Can I talk to somebody in this room? The Bible says that you will know the opinion and the opinion will make you free. No, it says you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Can I talk to somebody that if we are going to find Jesus and walk with Jesus, we don't need nobody else's opinion. We need to hear what the truth is saying. Because an individual will use their opinion and take the opinion and usurp authority against the truth. And the thing is that anybody can have an opinion, but there's only one truth. Jesus said that I am that truth. The Bible says that truth is forever settled in heaven. So what does that mean? Well, we live in a world right now that has many different ideologies. We're on here on a Sunday morning, and in this country right now, there are many different assemblies assembling all over the place. There are many different congregations, there are many different religions, there are many different walks of life, and everyone is saying that they have the way. Everyone is saying that you need to choose this direction or you need to go that direction. A lot of people have their own ideologies, even about you being here right now. There are some countries, praise the Lord, you go to, and you'll see that it is more predominant for them to be worshipers of idols than they are worshipers or attempting to worship the true and the living God. Just because an individual comes and assembles himself here in what we call the house of the Lord doesn't mean that they're worshiping the God of that house. But nevertheless, you can look into the world and you'll look and you'll see people pursuing God or pursuing something to worship. And sometimes they don't realize that they're actually are trying to pursue God, but they're pursuing them in the wrong places. Can I talk to somebody in this room and let you know that your pursuit after God, no man's going to find God unless he draws you to himself. You just can't find God on your own. If God does not reveal himself to you, will never find him. But the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. God makes himself visible to all mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. What do you mean? That means that if you're trying to find the Father, if you're trying to find God, if you're trying to find the Creator, you're not going to find him through anyone or through anybody other than Jesus Christ. So what do you mean? That means that after you find Jesus, you don't go the other direction. You don't lean to your own understanding. You don't choose your own ways, but you say, Father, whatever you want me to do, I want it. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going. Whatever you want me to say, I'm going to say it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Because the reason being is this, is that before the Lord, you know, I believe that when the scripture speaks and said that the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, when God's spirit moved on the face of the waters in the book of Genesis, I believe it was because of the war that went on in heaven with Lucifer and his angels, where the Bible declares that there was a third of the angels that were deceived and how they were cast to the earth. I believe that his very presence in the earth is what created the darkness that we saw, that the Lord saw before his spirit moved upon the face of the waters. But can I tell you that it was a lie that the enemy spoke? It was deception that was used to steer the hearts of angels that were in the heaven. So that means that if the Lord lost a third of the angels due to deception, then how much more should we as people be willing to hearken to the voice of God with all of our heart? Why? Because you got to understand that the very one that was responsible of dividing a third of the heaven is the very one that is considered the God of this world and the prince and the power of the air. So what do you mean? That means that when you're hearing truth, you're hearing what something that's going to deliver you. If you're hearing truth, you're hearing something that can save you. You got to understand that the enemy's desire is to steal, kill, and to destroy. If he is the God of this world and God is coming from, if the enemy is the God of this world and the Lord is coming from heaven above, praise the Lord, to give you a word from the Lord, you got to understand that it's that word that's going to protect you. It's that word that's going to keep you alive. It's that word that's going to free you. It's that word that's going to heal you. But the thing is, it's not just me hearing what he says. I've got to do what he says. Can I talk to somebody in this room that after you have heard what God said, you've got to do what God said? The Bible makes a statement in the book of James. It says, be not a hearer of the word only. He said, but be doers. He said, if we hear the word and we don't do it, he said, we deceive ourselves. Can I talk to you and let you know that it's not the will of God for us to be deceived? But the more we walk in truth, the more we walk in relationship, the more we walk in revelation, the more the light comes on. The Bible says that the word of the Lord is a lamp to our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. That means that if you want to walk with the light on, you've got to walk in the word of God. Do you believe we're living in a dark world? Do you believe that we're living in a dark world? Do you believe that the hour is getting darker and darker and darker? Just because the world is dark around you doesn't mean that you have to be dark in here. What do you mean? You can live in the world, but walk in the word. Because the darkness that is in the world, you notice that when the Lord spoke to the in the book of Genesis, he said he divided the light from darkness. Well, do you understand that when you walk in the word, God is calling you to walk in the light? And when you walk in the world, he's dividing you from darkness. He's dividing you from the darkness that is in this world. So what does that mean? That means that somewhere along the line, that if I'm going to walk with God, I've got to get rid of my own ideologies. You got to understand that, going back to once again what I spoke earlier about how sometimes we look at our future and we engage what's going on right now based upon past experiences in yesterday. What do you mean? You ever bought a lemon? You ever bought a vehicle that was a lemon? And then after you bought that vehicle, you was like, never again. So now every single time you get ready to buy a vehicle, you're always going back to the lemon you bought. So what's going on? There's a level of fear that you have that you're going to get got, or you're going to get had like you got duped last time. Well, the thing is that when you're walking with God, God is always taking you down pathways that you've never gone before. He's always going to cause you to do something that you've never done before. He's calling for a trust that you've never given to anybody else before. And if we're ever going to find this straight gate, we got to be willing to let go of our own ideologies. The scripture says that in the last days, it speaks about deception being worse and worse. But Jesus speaks, he says, I want you to enter into the straight gate. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody knows, you know, there's certain things that we know that are no-brainers. I went to a funeral this weekend. My aunt, 94 years, passed away a couple of weeks ago. And everybody was talking about how much of an impact my aunt made on their life. I was not aware of all of what she did. She lived 94 years. My grandmother, which was her sister, older sister, passed about 3 years or so ago, about 4 years ago. And I was thinking about the impact and what was made. But then the thought came to me, I was like, man, a person can live 94 years, 95 years, live 100 years. And then at the end of the 100-year mark, God comes for you. And when he comes back for you, it's a blessing to live 94 years. But it would be better for a person to never been alive to live 94 years and not obeyed God. It'd be better for a person to never been born to live 20 years, live 30 years, live 40 years, live 50 years, to live a whole lifetime, whatever that lifetime may be, and not do the will of God. Oh, the thing is, what is the will of God? A lot of times a day we add our own perspective on it. Somebody thinks about the will of God, we automatically think ministry. I talk to somebody, are you going to do the will of God? They automatically think, okay, I got to preach, or God's calling me to some type of ministry. And I will say that the will of God includes that. But the will of God is not just that. The Bible makes a statement. It says, in the last day, not everyone that comes unto me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, except he that does the will of the Father. So what do you mean? That means that when you look at Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. Why was he kicked out of heaven? Because iniquity was found within his heart. Iniquity is basically, I'm going to do what I want to do. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to be led in spite of what God's word was saying, in spite of what the Spirit wanted. He wanted to usurp what the Spirit wanted above. He wanted to usurp this what the Spirit wanted with what he wanted. Can I talk to somebody in this room? The Bible says, not everyone that comes unto me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. He said, except he that do the will of the Father. Those that don't do the will of the Father, he's going to say, flee from me, you worker of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. But the thing is that if a person was to go and ride around town and do a lot of sex trafficking and molesting children, many people would get up and say, there's a hot place in hell for people like that. And the thing is that when certain things happen to people's families, or when you are battling something, or something that comes into your life is completely unfair. Maybe somebody, you know, killed a loved one of yours. Maybe you saw an attack, what would happen with the World Trade Center. Maybe you sit back and think about what happened in with Israel last year, I believe it was in October. And about all the people that have gotten killed. You think about the Holocaust and all the people that died during the Holocaust. You think about the slave trade and all the people, all the slaves that died in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And a lot of times people think about that and they sit back and they're like, well, man, you know, those people who are responsible for that, God's going to judge them. And the thing is that if we're not careful, we will make the pathway of destruction more narrow than what it actually is, basically making it seem like that the pathway of destruction is more narrow and the pathway to life is more broader. And see, the challenge is this, is that there are times, praise the Lord, that even in the body of Christ, you know, we can give a lot of our energy. We can give a lot of our energy, give a lot of our efforts towards the things of God, but not give our effort towards God. Are you saying, Brother Hurt? Jesus makes a statement to them, and he says, I want you to enter into the straight gate. That means that when you recognize this, you've got to give yourself to it. You ever walk down? I remember about a year ago, my wife and I were going to Jamaica, and while we were driving in Jamaica, there was a narrow path. And that pathway was so narrow, if you were driving, you could drive right past it and you would have missed it. You never would have saw it. But because I had a GPS, and the GPS was like, you're getting ready to come up on that exit, or you're getting ready to come up on that turn. If the GPS, if the voice wasn't there, let me know that I was coming up on the exit, or I was coming up on that left turn, I would have missed it. And the reason why I would have missed it was because the pathway to the room was so narrow. Can I talk to somebody in this room to let you know that the pathway to heaven is a narrow pathway? Once you find that pathway, you don't wrestle with other pathways. You don't play with other pathways. But once you get God in your view, you don't play with them, but you walk down that pathway. What do you mean? If you got to leave. If you got to leave people behind, if you got to walk away from some things, if you got to walk away from some friends, if it's going to cost you some relationships, if it's going to cost you your job, it is better to walk with him on the right way than to walk down the wrong way. So what do you mean? It says enter in at the straight gate. Why? There's a wide gate. And the reason why people don't enter into the straight gate, it says enter into the straight gate. It says enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to the path of destruction, and many there be that go in thereof. Why? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to the path of life, and few be there that find it. Why is it that few find it, but many find what's broad? Why is it that there are few people that actually find this gate? How is it that a whole world that has known about Jesus don't find the gate? You would assume that because I've heard where the door is, I found the gate. But can I talk to somebody in this room that if you're going to find that gate, you're going to have a right pathway. So you got to understand, the Bible says straight is the gate, wide is the gate. Straight is the gate, for wide is, it says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to the path of destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because wide is straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to the path of life. A lot of times we're focused on what other people are doing. Can I talk to somebody in this room? You cannot afford for your walk with God to be based on what other people are doing. What do you mean? You are not here to mimic anybody else. You're here to have a relationship with God. If God is drawing you, if God is pulling you, if God is calling you, praise the Lord. If your mother doesn't want it, if your husband doesn't want it, if your dad doesn't want it, doesn't mean you shouldn't want it. You've got to make up in your heart that I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to give him all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. Because you got to understand that this straight gate, if your walk with God is based off of what other people are doing, and you feel safe because you're in the presence of people that look like they're going the right way, then you're saying that heaven is making accommodations for you that are not actually written in the scripture. What do you mean? The Bible makes a statement. It says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now the thing is, I know, praise the Lord, that a lot of times we're going through things. And can I tell you that the Bible says that in the last days that the enemy will try to wear out God's people. Many of us can feel that wearing. Many of us can feel that pulling. Many of us can feel that weariness that is coming over the world. But can I tell you, he said, in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, but in me you'll have peace. Can I talk to somebody in this room? You're not going to find peace on Broadway. You're going to find peace in the straight gate. Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. This is some of the reason why. We live in a world right now where there's a lot of talks. People are like, well, you know, I've got this mental condition, or I've got this, you know, I've got this trauma, and we've got psychologists and we got counselors, you know, that are trying to, you know, use therapy to deal with people's trauma from the past, and certain things are coming up. Can I talk to somebody in this room? It's not a trauma issue. It's a world issue. It's an end time issue. I'm not trying to negate or minimize what you've gone through in the past, but the Bible declares this. It says in the last days, it says that men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking after those things that are coming to the earth. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you're going to walk with God, praise the Lord, you've got to learn to detach yourself. You got to let God say, Lord, I need you to draw my mind. I need you to draw my spirit, Lord. I need you to create in me a clean heart. I need you to renew in me a right spirit. Transform the way that I think. Why? Because you got to understand that there is no psychotherapist out that is able to counteract the spirit of fear that is coming to the earth. The only weapon that we've got to deal with that is love. The Bible declares that perfect love casts out all fear. There's got to be an individual that is so in love with God, and their desire is to see God, that they're willing to go through anything that they would have God. Can I tell you that spirit is prevalent in this hour? But you know what else is prevalent? Deliverance, the hand of God, the power of God, the spirit of God, the move of God is just as prevalent in this hour as the move of the enemy. So what do you mean? Sometimes we're looking for God to make things more comfortable for us. What do you mean? It's, I'm depressed. I'm stressed out. I'm looking for a way out of this thing. But the thing is that you don't really hear of the disciples suffering like they did until they walked with Jesus. You don't. He spoke concerning Paul. He told Paul, he said, there's many things that Paul is going to suffer for my name's sake. The Bible says that if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. You mean, Brother Hurt, can I talk to somebody, let you know that when we walk a straight path, it's not just about living a life with a bunch of rules, because you can live by the rules and still be on Broadway. You can live by the rules. What do you mean the rules? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I don't go here. I don't go there. Now, the thing is that there are rules. The law of the word, the law of the spirit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love thinks not on the things of self, but on the things of others. See, the thing is, praise the Lord, is that a lot of times what's going on is we're looking for a way to be more comfortable. And the relationship with God is centered around how comfortable he makes your life feel around you. But can I tell you that God's not here to make everything comfortable around you. He wants to make you comfortable within. He wants to give you the comforter. He wants to give you the power of God. He wants to give you the Father, the Paraclete, the Spirit of God that goes right alongside with you. Do you have peace because you're not going through storms? Or do you have peace because Jesus is with you in every storm? You lift your hands. Don't just say, God, change my perspective. Change my perspective. Have you ever thought that God would, thought that this would never happen to you? Yet you ever been disappointed? Because you're like, well, man, this happens to everybody else. And a preacher called me the other day, found out he's got cancer. What happens when certain things that happen to everybody else that never happens to you happens to you? And sometimes what we're doing is we're coming to God and we're wanting God to deal with these things and not wanting God to deal with this. What is the will of God? What is the will of God that is so important about the will of God that he will determine if a person is able to come unto him saying, Lord, Lord, we'll enter into the kingdom of God. What is so important about the will of God that it's actually a deal breaker for entering into the kingdom of God? What do you mean? Well, Brother Hurt, I'm born again of water and of the Spirit. Just because you're born again of the water and of the Spirit doesn't mean you've entered. It's what gives you the access. It's what is going to grant you the access. But after you've been born again of water and Spirit, you got to walk in the will of God. We've got to walk in the will of God. So what does that mean? That means that if I'm going to find his will, I'm going to find it in here. What does this have to say about me as a father? What does this have to say about me as a husband? What does this have to say about me as a son? What does this have to say about me as a brother? What does this have to say about me as a citizen in society? What does this have to say? Why? Because the thing is, we are trying to use this to get God to do this and not using this for God to get us to do what's in here. Listen, we can't try to hold God at his word and not let God hold us at his word. Because sometimes what we're doing is we're trying to get God to do what's in here, when God is like the whole thing, that the reason why mankind is messed up was because man quit doing what's in here. So what do you mean? The thing is, the bottom line is, will you do what I tell you? Will you do what I tell you? You know what, Brother Hurd? You know, that's an abomination, yeah. That's you can go to hell in, you know, engaging in that kind of lifestyle. Murder, yes, you can go to hell being a murderer. Lying, yes. Fornication, yes. Adultery, yes. But the thing is, when you look at doing the will of the Father and not doing it, that becomes very broad. What do you mean? That means that when you go to hell, you'll see all kind of people there. What do you mean? Hell is so broad. What do you mean? How can I get there? It's a broad way. Could you narrow it down? It's impossible. It's much broader than what we're trying to minimize it, to the point where, you know, just as long as I'm, you know, as long as you find Jesus, you're fine. No. Because there are even people who knew Jesus at one time that have had experiences with God, that are faithful to the house of God, that are in that broad way. Bible says, love the Lord your God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as ourself. It also makes the statement, it says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty, the whole responsibility of man. What am I saying? I've seen it where people are going through things. I've seen it in my life in the past when I was like, Lord, I just need you to get me out of jail. And you know what? He got me out of jail and I went right back. So the thing is that me needing God to do this is not as big or as important of God wanting me to do that. And a lot of times our hearts are full of what we need God to do and not full of what God wants us to do. And if our faithfulness and our worship and our prayer life and our commitment to God is only centered around what we need him to do, and not what he wants us to do, then what starts happening is we have no responsibility. Let's say I have no responsibility. So it's not about what he wants me to do. It's what I need him to do. So now I remove all responsibility from you, and now I put that responsibility on God, and I put that responsibility on everybody else. And then what happens is we're faithful to a place that is responsible for me when I'm not responsible of doing anything for God, but we hold the responsibility to everybody else. The whole reason why sin entered into the world was because man and woman made a decision. Their decision that they made catered to their flesh. It did not cater to the will of the Father. What is God wanting? Lord, is this what you want from me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you feel about this situation? Because, see, the thing is that if we don't get the right perspective, then we only are committed as long as God is fulfilling what we want him to do. And the moment God is no longer doing what we want him to do, we're not committed anymore. We're not faithful anymore. All of a sudden, our love for him goes out the window. And at the end of the day, you could recognize, well, there was never love to begin with. That's why he speaks and he says, you know, not everyone that comes on me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God except him that do the will of the Father. He says, for many in that day will come unto me saying, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I healed the sick in your name. I ministered in your name. And he's going to say, flee from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because, see, the thing is that when we love God, we'll do what he says. So what does that mean? Understanding that your ideas don't work. I can't do this on my own. It would be prideful of me to assume that my way and my ideology is going to trump God's way. God is looking for somebody that says, God, I don't know how to do this. I'm coming to you. I've been coming to you with this Christmas list of things that I need you to do. When at the end of the day, I don't know what needs to be done. You know what needs to be done, God. I surrender completely to you. I'm done trying to give you orders. I want to take orders. I'm done trying to give you a word to live by. I need you to give me a word so I can live by. I can't order my steps. I can't order my steps. And the faster you'll recognize that, the quicker you recognize that, the better things are going to get and a whole lot easier walking with God is going to be. But as long as you feel like you've got to keep telling God what you need God to do and not understanding that deliverance doesn't come by you telling God what needs to be done, but God telling you what needs to be done. And when that happens, it shows us the condition of our heart when God speaks to us what he wants or what he's requiring out of us. And that's where you see the hearts of men and women manifest. Because if God told you, you were like, Lord, that Christmas list that you have, I need you to do such and such, such and such, such and such. You know, you would want God to do all that stuff immediately, and you'll do whatever he tells you. But what happens when God says, no, God doesn't do it. And because God doesn't do the this in your life, then all of a sudden, when God tells you to do that, you're not there. I've seen it where God will tell somebody, you know, I want you to forgive. You're wanting God to fix this thing. And God's like, all right, that's in my will. It's in my will. What you're wanting is what I want. But the way that I'm going to use to go about fixing that may not be the way that you want. And I don't need you sitting down on me because you don't like the way that I'm wanting you to go about this thing to have it fixed. But if you truly have denied yourself, and you truly love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. You hear someone, Lord tells them, you know, man, my whole family is messed up. I need God to fix this and fix that. And the Lord tells them, repent. Be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, God, I don't want to do all that. I just need you to do this. That's iniquity. See, the thing was, Lucifer didn't want God to do all that. He just needed God to do this. And when we are, and the thing is, you can have iniquity in the world, and you can have iniquity in the church. That's why the Bible says, they that name the name of the Lord, let them depart from what? Iniquity. But it's dangerous to have a broad perspective and assume that because that God is going to accommodate the iniquity in my life and I'm going to see him in peace. That is dangerous. So what does that mean? There are miracles, yes, in this room. There's deliverance, yes, in this room. There's healing, yes. Many of you have the prayer request that God is wanting the answer. But remember, what was his name? Naaman was a leper. He wanted his leprosy cleansed. He wanted the very thing that God wanted. But when the prophet came to him, when he came to the prophet's house, the prophet didn't come outside. The prophet told him, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Naaman gets upset. Why? Because he has this perspective in his mind on how he thinks God needs to do it. And the thing is today that we've got churches, we've got preachers, we've got society, we've got teachers, we've got schools that accommodate your perspective. That if Elisha doesn't tell me to do it according to the way I want it done, then I'll just go to the prophet down the street. And he'll do it the way that I want it to be done. But can I talk to somebody in this room? God's only got one way. When God gives you a word, that's his way. Quit looking for other options and choose his way. Because only other option outside of the straight gate is Broadway. So what does that mean? Today, somebody's got to make a decision. That, Lord, I don't want to be in control of my life anymore. I don't want to rule my life. I want you to have complete rulership in my life. I came here for one thing, but you brought me here for something else. And I'm not going to say that the will of me being here, I'm not going to submit myself to the will of me being here. I'm going to submit myself to the will of you bringing me here. If you woke up this morning, it was for a purpose. It was to do his will. You don't use the day that God gave you to fulfill your own will. You use the day that he has given you to fulfill the will of God. Would you lift your hands towards heaven? Just stand to your feet. Come on. God. If man leaves this world against his own will, and we have to receive it and accept it, why? Because he's God. There has to be a surrenderance to the will of God that is at least equivalent to the surrenderance of a man that was living that is now dead. There are people that are wealthy, millions, billions, trillions of dollars. They say that that's their net worth. But their net worth holds no value when it comes down to God saying your time is up. God's looking for an individual that says, God, you got those people that die old, and when they die, you can see it coming. Everybody is prepared for the departure. But then there are those that they're just on their way to work. Seem like they have the rest of their life in front of them, and all of a sudden, on their way to work, car accident. Life taken from them immediately. Nobody expected that. But it was in the will of God that they left at that time. And while they're either on the pavement or while they're in the hospital fighting for their life, a lot of them come to the point where they recognize, all right, this is getting ready to happen. There's nothing I can do but throw myself at the mercies of God. And they leave. There was no notice. There was no notice. There was no body that came and let them know that this was getting ready to happen. It happened suddenly. When God starts dealing with you, He tells you to come out. We need to start responding to God like a man that's getting ready to die, him responding to his departure suddenly. Can God wake you up in the morning at 5 in the morning and say, I need you to get up and pray? Or, because if everything has to revolve around your clock, everything has to revolve around your schedule, everything has to revolve around the way that you want it done, it's iniquity. We're not on our time clock. He's not even on our time clock. We're on His time clock. To lift your hands towards heaven. Is there somebody in this room right now? It says, God, whatever you want me to do, some of you know exactly what He's wanted you to do. But you haven't done it yet. The will of God is not just a location. The will of God is an action. Is there somebody in this room that will obey the instruction of the Lord? What is God's will for you right now? What is He telling you to do right now? What is He telling you to do? Is He telling you to repent? Do it. Is He telling you to address the sin in your life? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If He's telling you that it's time for you to let Him lead you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another one they will not follow. Is God only talking when you're at church and not talking when you're at home? Is it possible that you have not allowed God the room to speak to you anywhere else but in the house of God? Come on, church, we got to depart from iniquity. Come on, we got to depart from iniquity. Come on, is there somebody in this room right now? Maybe you're the person that's like, Brother Hurt, this is a good time for the sinner to come up. This is a good time for that saint that's working in iniquity to come. But maybe you're that individual that's never, you're like, Brother Hurd, I've never received the Holy Ghost. Never been baptized. I've come to tell you, the Bible says, except the man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. He says, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, That which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. Can I tell you that just like it is impossible to enter into the kingdom of God if you don't do the will of the Father? It's impossible to enter into the kingdom of God without being born again of water and of the Spirit. Why? Because it's the will of God for you to be born again. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, the miracle that he has for you that's in his will, some of you don't realize that you're right at the threshold of it. But what he is wanting you to do is make the adjustments that he is telling you to make. Because sometimes God will allow even afflictions to come into our life if he knows that the affliction will turn our hearts. Come on. But with the turning of the heart, there's a turning of the tide. Come on. With the turning of the heart, there's a turning of the tide. With the turning of the heart, all it does, it's all it takes, it's just for a little turn, and then God turns around, and that very thing that's afflicting you now loses its grip off of you. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.